From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Documents obtained by a news outlet in Miami have found that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, gave more money to a private cruise ship company to dock its half-empty vessel in Puerto Rico for 4 months than it gave to residents of the island for rebuilding homes after Hurricane Maria. Carnival Cruises was paid $75 million of American tax dollars to house FEMA staffers, more than twice the amount that paying customers pay to cruise. Meanwhile, ordinary Puerto Ricans received less than $70 million in direct assistance to rebuild destroyed homes. The news comes in the wake of a Harvard University study that greatly increased the estimated death toll linked to the hurricane to the tune of nearly 5,000 people. The official death toll from Hurricane Maria was only 64. There has been little to no accountability of the Trump administration's botched response to Hurricane Maria. My guest is Rosa Clemente, a community organizer, active with Black Lives Matter, and she's also a freelance journalist, and she was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate. She's currently a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at UMass Amherst, and she's one of our news correspondents. She traveled to Puerto Rico in the aftermath of the hurricane and is a regular on our show. Welcome back, Rosa.
Thank you for having me.
So I remember all the times that we had you on in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Maria. We even talked to you once when you were in Puerto Rico, and all of the times that you said there's no way the death toll is so low. They aren't getting the numbers right. They're undercounting deaths. And other some news outlets also estimated in the hundreds. This study says the numbers could be as low as 800 or as high as 8,000, and they picked a number of about 4,600 to be the most likely number. That is way greater than the deaths from Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. This is a shocking number, Rosa, and you're one of the only people that I'm seeing to raise the alarm on this.
I mean, because I had covered the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and the levee breach in New Orleans in 2005. And we later found out through investigative journalism and researchers that the death toll was much higher than it was stated right after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, Mississippi, and Alabama. So I definitely knew that. And then when I got to Puerto Rico with our team of the folks that joined me with Puerto Rico on the map, we knew that that number of, I think at first it was 38 and then it went to 64 as the final count, was no way accurate. We had gone to Aguadilla, Puerto Rico, where in that town alone, there were people telling us 40 to 50 people died. So if there's 77 municipalities in Puerto Rico, and there were a lot in the western part of Puerto Rico that people could not get to immediately and are just getting to now. And we heard stories of people having to bury their loved ones in the backyard and things like that. I think anybody that went to Puerto Rico, especially us as Puerto Rican journalists, we knew that the government, I mean, I would just say they were lying. When we were there in October, we went to a morgue and saw refrigerated trucks in a morgue. Those refrigerated trucks did not have food or supplies, right? They had dead bodies there. And we were told by the people who lived right across the street from the morgue, as well as one specific interview that we did, that those were bodies and that they would move them at 2 a.m. in the morning and they were cremating the bodies and then letting the families know after the fact. So that was in October. And subsequently, it's been 8 months, almost 7 months since we've been there. And because now we can do research and now most people have power and journalists are beginning to also call out the individual stories, it's good that Harvard sent researchers down there that took a sample. And mind you, they only took a sample. So we're saying 46, 45 is the number that we know have died during Hurricane Irma, Maria, and post-Maria. but that number can go up to 8,000 if every household is interviewed in Puerto Rico.
Right. So as I understand it, the Harvard researchers went and they spoke to, they had enough funding to speak to people in 3,000 residences across the island. And just among 3,000 residences, they found 38 deaths, which is half the official total. Then they extrapolated that to the population of the island. I'm sure they made certain adjustments and came up with the range of 800 to 8,000, with the most likely estimate being about 4,600. Just as a comparison, the deaths in New Orleans from Hurricane Katrina were about 1,800. And the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, was excoriated, rightly so, justifiably so, for its response. Because again, in that instance too, the majority of people died after the hurricane. We have seen nothing coming close to that with the Trump administration. And Trump, didn't he boast after the hurricane about how few people had died in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, but also the governor of Puerto Rico and his entire administration are also complicit in hiding the numbers. They have commissioned a report in early October that still has not done anything. And it took Governor Jose Jo 24 hours to even respond to this death count. So, you know, the colonial administrators of Puerto Rico that are, quote, the governor and his administration are just as complicit as lying. And these numbers also surpass the number of people that were killed during the 9/11 attack in New York City in 2001. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as people who do the work of social justice, comparisons are not something we want to do, right? But if you were to add New Orleans and 911, the number of people dead in Puerto Rico might surpass those two numbers put together. And what most people don't realize is that a lot of people might have not died. Well, I think one death is too many, but in people's minds, a lot of people might not have, did not die during the hurricane.
Right.
It's after the hurricane. And I had one Titi, or one of my aunts, we say Titis, mm-hmm. as Puerto Ricans, she passed away about a month and a half after the hurricane due to the lack of electricity, due to the lack of her being able to have medical care. And one of my other Titis I was able to visit right after the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, who was in a hospital awaiting foot surgery. And if she didn't have the surgery right away, she could have lost her leg. It would have to be amputated. But when I went into the hospital, and that was in October, 3 weeks after Hurricane Maria hit, I had to wear a hazmat suit to go in to even visit her. I could only visit her for 15 minutes. They weren't allowing any people to visit for reasons that probably more infectious type of diseases that we coming in could spread. But I was told that her infection in her leg was not urgent. And the only people they were dealing with at that moment still were people who were literally dying. And because of the lack of electricity, the lack of blood, the lack of medical personnel, they could only do so many surgeries. So, you know, people have to think about what happens when you don't have your diabetes medicine for 3 weeks, or you don't have your oxygen tank, or you have an infection that's spread, and then you get staph infections and you're dying of that. That's what a lot of the deaths, they're post the hurricane because of the negligence of this government. And Trump is problematic in his administration, but honestly, the Democratic Party also failed the people of Puerto Rico.
So the New York Times, in reporting on the Harvard University study, said that the study estimates that about a third of the deaths were caused by a delay in medical care or the inability to obtain it, which is, of course, linked also to the inability to restore power in time. But also, Rosa, in the film that you and your fellow activist journalists created, from Puerto Rico, you show that lack of access to clean drinking water was a huge problem. I'm not sure if the study was able to hone in on that level of detail, but how important is it for us to draw attention to that, that in the aftermath of the hurricane, the residents of the island were not given either access to clean drinking water or the right kind of awareness about treating water so that it's safe to drink?
Yeah, I think that's something that people have to put into the larger context of what happened. When you don't have access to clean water, everything else often falls apart. And while we were there and we interviewed the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulín Cruz, she told us that day we interviewed her that three people had died of leptospirosis, which is a disease you get by walking through water or drinking water that has been contaminated with animal feces in urine. And, you know, it's hard to imagine the scale of not only destruction on the island, but the amount of garbage that was on the island post the hurricane. And then animals all over, lost, you know, in urban areas. I mean, we know that one infectious disease, you know, can spread very quickly, especially in these times. So I think when we talk about all this, we always have to talk about what happens when you don't have access to clean water and electricity for weeks. I mean, there's still 100,000 people in Puerto Rico that do not have electricity almost 8 months after the fact. And those that do have electricity, there are rolling blackouts still happening on the island, and the access to clean water in some parts of Puerto Rico is still extremely difficult. There are people still drinking water, you know, that has been donated, or they have to go somewhere to get clean water.
Rosa, the official government response from FEMA was also, of course, a big part of this equation. FEMA was there and people talked about contacting FEMA, but what did FEMA actually do? This is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. One imagines that in the wake of a disaster, FEMA would be there to provide the medical care, provide the food and water aid, help people, you know, find loved ones that they can't find, etc. What did FEMA do as the U.S. government's presence in Puerto Rico? What did FEMA do in the aftermath of the hurricane?
I don't know what FEMA did. I know that going to the convention center in San Juan that we had access to as journalists, there was a lot of FEMA personnel there and in the hotels and in San Juan. But I never saw FEMA personnel outside of the city at San Juan and the places we went to in the western part, from Rio Grande, El Yunque, that's the rainforest, Aguadilla, Moca, Utuado. Even in Rio Piedras, which is right outside of San Juan, I did not see one FEMA personnel ever on the ground. And FEMA should be completely held accountable for their complete negligence and lack of even providing food. FEMA handed out 5.1 million, 5.1 million hot meals or meals, I'm sorry, in Houston. And I just read something today where it said FEMA handed out less than 200,000 meals in Puerto Rico. You know, so I've never been one to think about FEMA as being helpful, especially after what I saw in New Orleans. But the scale of, again, of what happened in Puerto Rico, to have that, see so many FEMA officials in the metropolitan area and not anywhere else. And we could get to places that FEMA and the military were saying they couldn't get to. You know, it's unconscionable, it's inexcusable. And it's a crime against humanity. What has happened in Puerto Rico is crimes against humanity. It's a slow death. And I would even use the word genocide coming from this administration, because they purposely know that every day since that hurricane hit, there have been completely unavoidable deaths, and they have not prevented them because they don't care about Puerto Ricans at all.
So, Rosa, the FEMA inaction was also then coupled with the misspending, if you want to put it sort of lightly, of government dollars. I mentioned the Carnival cruise ship getting, you know, more money to house FEMA employees and staffers than Puerto Ricans got to rebuild homes. But there were so many other instances of contracts being given to private businesses that had zero experience. There were so many other instances where American tax dollars were spent, but not on the right things, right?
Well, it is my belief that with more strong investigative journalists doing what they can do to unearth more of these, again, I call them criminal acts, I'm awaiting the investigative journalism around Governor Jose Joe, his wife, and all their cronies, minions, and administrators, because Jose Joe is the one that got signed the contract with Whitefish with no bid around building the electrical grid. We know that that contract has been null and voided as people began to find out how bad that contract was with Whitefish. But in it, there was a stipulation that Whitefish still got money, even if the contract was canceled, which is adding on to the illegal debt that we have in Puerto Rico. But there's no way anybody can tell me or convince me that Governor Jose Joe is not getting kickbacks left and right. And I'm awaiting that investigative journalism that proves that, so he can either be recalled or resign. He's a disgrace. And he should not be the governor of Puerto Rico. And him and his entire administration should just resign and let other people run, you know, run the island, basically, or administrate the island since we're still a colony. But I put a lot of the blame on him as well. It can't just be about the Trump administration, because I feel also if it was the Obama administration, things wouldn't have been that much better. You know, but if we can't have a governor who is for the people of Puerto Rico and is about, I'm telling you, kickbacks and all the money him and his wife have been raising with their foundation, we've talked to people on the ground, no one has seen any of that money. They're corrupt and they need to go, and he's the problem. He's just part of the problem.
And in any other situation where you had such an incident where 4,600 people died in the aftermath of a hurricane and the government estimated 64, you would have a very good case for resignation or demanding resignation. Now, you said it took him 24 hours to sort of acknowledge that that number was a large number, but this is a Harvard University study. This is outside researchers coming in. Isn't it the government, the local government's responsibility to actually get an accurate count? And so, if so, is Rosello going to do that? Has he said that he's going to look into it properly, having a government, official government count that matches reality?
He started the commission in October and they still have not given a report back because they're lying and they're corrupt and they want the entire island to be privatized. Him, and I mean, he's a statehooder and everybody around him believes in Puerto Rico becoming a state. And privatizing everything is the road to that. You know, we have this immediate number of people who have died. We don't even know how many people have left. It'll probably be more than 500,000. How many more will leave? Schools have been completely shuttered because he wants to privatize that, as well as the Secretary of Education, who is Betsy DeVos's friend. Her name is Julie Kepner. She wants to charterize the entire public school system. There's still people who have not received even TARPs. People have gotten only $500 checks from FEMA to rebuild. So, you know, it's been now 8 months, and this is everything the people of Puerto Rico have to deal with. given an opportunity to come to the United States and create some semblance of a life, especially young people, there's only so much of people could take before the island is less Puerto Rican than it is white, young male, big currency, venture capitalist that Rosselló and his administration are bending over backwards to bring in and give any tax incentive to so they could do whatever they want.
And we saw what happened to New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, where the shock doctrine, as Naomi Klein calls it, was applied quite liberally, definitely, especially to the public school system there. What do you make of the news coverage here in the United States, on the mainland of the United States, Rosa, around the Harvard University estimate? Such a wild difference between 64 as the actual official death toll versus the estimate of 4,600. There was coverage in the New York Times, the LA Times, but was it enough?
No. And all the media outlets that are mainstream TV, Media Matters today said, Media Matters, the organization today said that there were 10 hours of coverage about the Roseanne show being canceled and 30 minutes of coverage on Puerto Rico, on all the MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and another mainstream outlet. We got 30 minutes of coverage on all of those four major news outlets. And Roseanne's show got 10 hours. So it's pretty clear that except for probably David Bignard over on CBS, who's been on the ground from day one, and then us as independent journalists, and then us as organizers using media, are the ones that have been covering the story. But you know, I said to people, if 5,000 dogs were dead in the United States, there'd be more outrage.
Oh, yes. There'd yes, that is exactly, I think you're right. Outrage.
There'd be commissions, there'd be a congressional hearing, there'd be something even coming out of the Trump administration and all the other presidents. We're talking about 4,645 as of now that we know. So, you know, again, it goes back to colonialism, to imperialism, to the United States doing whatever it has wanted to do with our people and our island since 1898. And now I think they just would prefer that Puerto Rico literally be emptied of us as Puerto Ricans.
And Rosa, we get the sense that especially the Trump administration would like for Hurricane Maria and what happened after it to simply go away. So what, you know, shouldn't this be a huge issue now for progressive activists looking to hold the Trump administration accountable? This is one of the top ones, you know, alongside the family separation of undocumented immigrants, alongside these other huge issues that people are attempting to hold the Trump administration accountable for. These this huge number of deaths in Puerto Rico for which no one has been held accountable. Shouldn't this be a top issue for progressives in the U.S.?
It should. What I know will probably happen is the Democratic Party sees the ability, particularly in Florida, to make it now a blue state, to, you know, make it a lot of their pitch, the Democratic pitches to Puerto Ricans in Florida, saying, well, you know, join our party, vote with us, because the numbers in Florida, Puerto Ricans, has grown so astronomically in the last couple of decades, but in this last year, that Puerto Ricans actually are the swing vote in Florida now. But I think for the Democratic Party, that's all they care about. Then for progressives and organizers left and activists, you know, I still stay very disappointed at people who are doing amazing work in social justice areas all over this country. I don't know what it is that people don't see Puerto Rico as just as important and can intersect with so many issues that we all care and fight about. So it's been disappointing to you know, not see progressives particularly in any way uplift Puerto Rico for more than half of a day, or not find the intersection of Puerto Rico and all the other issues that we fight about, because all those issues do intersect in Puerto Rico: education, criminal justice, migration, capitalism, gentrification, you know, fair wages, universal health care. All of those things is something Puerto Rico can become. We can become something better than we've been. And I urge, like many progressives, to see Puerto Rico as the possible reimagination of an island that is self-sufficient, self-determining, and can basically be independent, and what that could look like. So, you know, it stays, something is lacking in movement spaces in general, but you know, when you have 40, almost 5,000 people dead, you would hope that progressives and lefts and organizers would be outraged, just as every Puerto Rican in the diaspora is now. Like, we're mourning. This is a time of mourning. There's nothing to celebrate. It's a literally time of mourning, especially for all of us who did lose people post the hurricane, to know that we were right, and not to be right, to be unhumble about it or lack humility, to be like, we didn't want to be right about this. None of us wanted to be right, that we knew these numbers were going to be 70 times higher than anybody, that any official government was reporting. Like, it's a time of mourning for our people, and other people should be, you know, side by side with us. As Puerto Ricans, we've been side by side with every movement in this country.
Rosa, we are coming upon hurricane season again in the next few months. Things are going to be touch and go, as climate change is only exacerbated because we still continue to spew out emissions and use fossil fuels. The Caribbean and the coastal areas of the United States remain extremely vulnerable. What is in store for Puerto Rico that has not even had a chance to recover from the last major hurricane? Our people, I mean, I can only imagine what it must feel like for people who are still trying to figure out how to rebuild, knowing that more storms are likely coming this year.
Yeah, hurricane season starts on June 1st, you know, so I know everybody in Puerto Rico and all the islands, you know, are worried. But in Puerto Rico, we have no infrastructure. Like, we literally don't have a working electrical grid. We don't have access to clean water. Roads have buckled. Bridges haven't been built. Homes still don't even have tarps on them. So I can't imagine the anxiety and stress that people in Puerto Rico are going to have to live with now. And then we as Puerto Ricans in the diaspora are going to have to be ready to respond and move. Because there might not be a Hurricane Maria. We don't know. Just because the Weather Service is saying they won't be as strong. They didn't know Hurricane Maria was going to be that strong till 10 days before it. And even then, Puerto Rico was not prepared because our infrastructure does hardly exist now. It won't take a strong storm like Hurricane Maria. It could be a Category 3 and is going to devastate the island again. You know, so we can't. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that any hurricane that hits Puerto Rico could potentially make the island collapse completely again. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rosa, give out the website where people can watch the documentary that you helped to put together. We'll also be playing it next after we say goodbye to you. But for those who want to go watch it directly, where can they find it?
It's prontthemap.com, prontthemap.com. They can share it out. And we have three other short documentaries, and recently I was able to interview Mayor Cruz, where we talked about what could happen this hurricane season, and they can see all those and share them out.
That's PRonthemap.com. Rosa, thank you for all your work. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you, Sonali.
Rosa Clemente is a community organizer. She's active with Black Lives Matter. She's also a freelance journalist. And she was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate. Currently, she's a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at UMass Amherst. And she's one of our news correspondents. She had traveled to Puerto Rico in the aftermath of the hurricane. And we've been discussing the revised estimate of Hurricane Maria-related deaths in Puerto Rico. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.